Welcome back, and thanks so much for hanging in there with us. Carrie, when we left before the commercial break, we started to talk about your very worst moments, when it all bottomed out. Tell me about that.
So I think it was around 2003. I just gotten my first law job. Well, it had been a handful of months. I was working as a lawyer. I was loving it. It was just awesome. Marriage wasn't so great, but the law was good. Kids were okay, you know, healthy, you know, and doing okay. And I had, a long story short, I ended up in the hospital with a pulmonary embolism. So that's a blood clot. It was full. My entire leg was full. And then it exploded into my lungs. During the same week that I was in the hospital with this, there was a reporter in Iraq at the time who spent some time in a tank doing some and got out and just fell to the ground and died of a pulmonary embolism. So it was like this battle, and I can remember being, you know, as they were carting me back and forth from, you know, labs and all this stuff and scans, like a moment in the hallway where it was just like dark and they just placed me there because they were really busy and they were just trying to get everyone. It was the middle of the night. And it was just like this battle for my mind. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, so I didn't recognize it as what it was at the time. But now looking back, I can just really see it was this moment of, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe what you believe about you and above the world, Carrie? Or are you going to trust Jesus, you know, and what does that look like, kind of a thing. And it was a battle of fear. I mean, I was so fearful. Like before this, you know, I could pretty much control just a lot of stuff, but I can't control the inside of my body other than what I fill it with and things like that. You know, this was a birth control, a different type of birth control that I had started that had caused this. And so this complete lack of control. And then a week after I got home, so I'm on crutches, I can't work, I can't, you know, my kids were 4 and 6, I think, at the time, something like that. If that old, they might've been a little younger. I can't go to the kitchen and make them food and things like that, because I can barely walk, you know, I can't walk, I'm on crutches, and even getting drinks, you know, and that kind of stuff. And that's when, after, I don't remember, if it was 7 or 8 years of an alcoholic marriage, my husband decided he was going to leave. And move in with a friend of mine, and you know, all that goes from there. So that was the moment. And it was finally like, you can't control all of this. So what are you gonna do? And so I went to counseling, I started counseling. It was a secular counselor at the time. Really, it was the first time that I admitted about the rape and sexual abuse. I had opened up to a friend in high school, but it didn't go well. And so then it was just like, nope, we're not doing this. Like, I was already rejected, obviously, during the episode, then was rejected by her, you know, as I shared it. And it was like, I'm not going that way. You know, I went the overachieving route. And so this was that first opening up of like, life is not perfect. You know, there's stuff. And I didn't even really admit that. She had to pull it out of me when I started. But that was
the counselor, you mean?
Yeah, the counselor. Yeah.
Okay. And so when you started to open up and the floodgates opened and the dam wall broke and the skeletons came falling out of the closet, you had to start some cleaning.
Yeah. And when you clean a closet, it gets a lot dirtier. Cleaner.
Really?
Oh yeah. Well, just think about it. You've got a closet in your bathroom, right? Like when you just keep stuffing stuff in, like, it's a closet. Like you just close the door. It looks clean. On the outside, it appears perfect, right? Which is what my life appeared to everyone else, because that's what I wanted them to think. And of course, now I am trying to grapple with these things, and not so much publicly, for sure, but yet, you know, it was difficult. I mean, it does get worse before it gets better, but that's the point. Like, if you truly want to bring healing to it, you're going to have to, you know, get, you know, if there's a scab there, you're going to have to rip that off to get to healing. So that can be a scar, and the scar is okay. You know, then it's healing, and it just is what it is, you know, and then you can use that to launch into something, you know, next, as opposed to an open wound that's just gushing, or a scab that's just trying to keep it covered, but yet infected underneath.
Right. And
affecting my life at work, it's infecting my parenting, it's affecting my, you know, marriage, even though that was about to be over, you know, like those kind of things. It was affecting everything, you know, all my relationships, and of course my own, you know, thoughts about myself and, you know, all those kind of things. And then, you know, able to let that love in. And then really, it took a few years from there, but really finding out about relationship with Christ and what that looks like and how that looks and just what does that look like. And part of that, Kenya kind of fit in the middle of all of that. Like Kenya was one of those big things of me actually seeing examples of Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. For the first time, and then able to look back and say, oh my gosh, like there he was, you know, with right. there he was protecting me with drinking and, you know, all of those mm-hmm. kind of, and just other stupid things and, you know, so many things. And so that was definitely that start of receiving his love and letting someone in, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. And, you know, that look back point reminds me of the poem Footsteps. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, where, you know, all those times when I look back and I see just that one set of footprints in the sand, that's when you carried me. Oh my goodness, how many times have we been carried? Like, Jesus, your back should be broken from all the times you carried me. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing. We never get too heavy for him. Our burdens are heavy on us, but they're never too heavy for him. And we have to cast our burdens and cares and worries on him, because he is equipped to handle them and we're not. Our bodies will be ravaged with illness and cancers and, you know, the sore analogy that you're using. You've got that scab, and that scab can be infected underneath, and that looks like illness, cancer, you know, sleeplessness, worry, anxiety, fear.
Absolutely.
All of that, that's all a result of a scab that's not allowed to heal because you're not in counseling and you're not seeking the word of Jesus and getting that all taken out of you and cleaning house.
Absolutely. And that goes back to you're not alone again, too. Mm-hmm. And the fact that all of this healing was already done. It's not like you're going to open up that scab and then he's going to come and assess it and say, well, okay, well, if you would trust, none of that is going to happen. Like, I can guarantee you none of it. Your mom might say that, you know, your even best friend might say that, mm-hmm. you know, might tell you that. He is not going to tell you that. Mm-mm. He died at cross 2000 years ago. It's done.
It's finished. That's what he said.
Anymore. It is complete. Whether you accept it and receive it, mm-hmm. that's what the decision needs to come in. But that's my decision. That's mm-hmm. your decision. And we can choose to accept it and let it in or not. And if we don't, then we live in anxiety, fear, and you know, all those things. And if we do, we can live in love and joy and all the fruits of the spirit and excitement and adventure of mm-hmm. all the depths.
You know, I'll tell you what, this entire series, I have had the privilege of speaking to most of our presenters so far. And one common thread, because no one knows what the other one is going to talk about, but one common thread is acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge your history. You have to acknowledge the wrong that was done to you. You have to acknowledge your fear, your worry, your whatever. But the other side of acknowledgement is that you have to acknowledge that the healing is already in place. That's the beginning of healing as well. You acknowledge what was done, but you acknowledge the healing. And that's where the steps to begin healing come from. You acknowledge that I need help. Mm-hmm. And for those that are believers, you acknowledge that help is already here. It's not on the way. Help is here. It happened 2,000 years ago, like you said, on the cross. So we have to acknowledge that we are healed, that we are enough, that we are overcomers, that we are conquerors more than we are the head, not the tail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's nothing more we can do. You know, we can take that next Bible study. We can do this. We can do that. We can try all these things. And some of them might help. I'm not saying they're not gonna help, but they're not going to be that final healing. It's only him and allowing him in that's going to be that final healing. And that Bible study might bring you to that. Mm-hmm. But it's not about, you know, that either. You know, it is about letting him in and fully seeing you and knowing because of his love for you that you're enough. Not because your best friend likes you or not because, you know, people like you in general. You're a nice person. Like, all of those things, like, don't matter, because there'll be times where people don't like you. Mm-hmm. And there'll be times where you do mess up. I still mess up. We all still mess up, right? And then does that change?
Right.
Then it's like, now I'm not good at. I mean, I've been struggling the last handful of months about different things in different ways. The idea that God is bigger than those problems.
Right. Absolutely. And what does that acknowledgement look like? That acknowledgement is as simple as saying a simple prayer. God, come into my life.
For me, I think a lot of times it's like, I can't control this and I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving it in your hands. Sometimes yes. It's his name, right? I mean, there's a song out there that talks about just his name, like just Jesus.
Yeah. Because when we don't know what to say, he knows what's in our heart.
Exactly. He knows our heart attitude. He always knows our heart attitude. And sometimes we think it's pure and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Think of David when he was moving the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And first time he didn't do it the way the Bible said to do it, you know, the way the Levites and the law said mm-hmm. to do it. And a guy died. Mm-hmm. And David was mad and David was angry and David was hurt and, you know, all these things. But then he looked at the law and it said, oh no, I have to do it on poles and only mm-hmm. the Levites can do it, you know. And then he felt, you know, he did it that way. Now, I'm not saying that to say we have to follow the rules and then we're good enough, because that is not it.
Right.
The point just is we need to be open and honest, and he knows our heart and why we're doing things the way we're doing it. And sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. We deceive ourselves above all else. And so we think we're doing it with the right heart, mm-hmm. but we're doing it to achieve, or maybe we're doing it, you know, to look good in front of our friends, or, you know, there could be some other hidden motive, but he mm-hmm. knows our heart. And so just the word Jesus is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, what you, I remember when I was healing and starting this healing process, I mean, it was just crying. I mean, I was either at work and trying my best to hold it together or just crying constantly. I'd hold it together when the kids were there every other weekend. And, you know, scrapbook and just keep entertained with friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the other times it was just, and because it was so old. I mean, it was 30, more than 30 years old for me mm-hmm. of stuff out and just the way I was living and what I was living in and the hurt done to me mm-hmm. and then all the hurt that I had done. And so looking at both of those sides, and yeah, it's just, it's simple. It's not a dramatic thing. You can write it out in a story. You can say the word Jesus, like mm-hmm. it's part of your heart. Where's your heart?
Absolutely. And that's what's so fantastic. It doesn't have to be a big grandiose fanfare of an event. You just have to repent your sins and just say, you know, forgive me, come into my life. And so we are going to take a quick little break and hear a word from our sponsors. But when we come back, I want to talk about the relationship that you have with Christ and how that has impacted the amazing things that you're doing, not only here in the U.S., but over in Mombasa, Kenya, with Mercy's Life Family and the fantastic things that are happening there as we even speak right now. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks. Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for waiting through the commercial break. Carrie, when we left off, we wanted to start talking about the opposite side, the joyous things that have come out of all of the trauma and all of the mess that you've been through, and how you have gone back to all of those places, the rape, the sexual abuse, the hurt, the divorce, the infidelity, how you took all of those stories and rewrote them. Mm. They're being rewritten right now, every day, not only here with our conferences that we do and things of that, but over in Kenya, you're lighting up the world. Tell us about that.
I am just so grateful for all that God has done for me in redeeming me and in all of these messes, both the ones that were done to me and also the ones that I've done. Mm-hmm. And it's just out of that gratitude and that, like, how could he do that? Why would he do that kind of a thing? And it's like, so if he's willing to do that, like what little bits, like we talked about earlier, what little bits can I do to bring that to someone else's life? Mm-hmm. Right. And not my job, the Holy Spirit does the work. So again, like I shared earlier, it's sitting and praying more than anything. But yet, you know, he has brought such awesomeness out of such mess and such just pit. Mm. Like, how can I share a little bit of that with the world? And sometimes that's just going to the grocery store and being kind, even though I'm tired, right? And that's, you know, being there for my 20 some kids, even though they are just driving me insane, or I really have no time bandwidth because of work or other things, you know, or stopping out for my husband. So a lot of it is just those little tiny things. And it's those little tiny things that add to bigger and bigger and bigger things. And, mm-hmm. and it's really a matter of pulling people out of controlling, trying to control things, stop comparing ourselves to other people.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if it's drinking or partying or sex, you know, those kind of things, pulling ourselves out of those pits, and not pulling ourselves, allowing Jesus to pull us out of those pits. And so just really on my part, it's just loving people where they are, but also wanting that next step for them. It's, you know, like a parent, like, you know, I love my son and my daughter where they are. And I also hope they're working to the next level of life, especially at 20 something, you know, when they're that growth period. So that idea of love them fully where they are, and they may or may not, but yet also, you know, pray for more and hope for more and see in them more, truthful, but also, you know, what that looks like and sharing that with our people, you know, and not letting shame and guilt rule our lives, but what Jesus gives us, you know, he took all of that. He took all of that on the cross. And so letting that go and moving forward. So what are some of the specific things, you know, and just fully living that acceptance and receiving, I'm studying that a lot this month, even of receiving, you know, all that he has for us and then being able to give that back, because, you know, we can receive to overflow and then there's a ton to give back. And so, you know, like you shared, you know, we do Bible studies, we write books, we do conferences and other things online, and that's awesome. And I love that, but I, you know, and I that knows me, knows that my true heart and all of this started in Kenya for girls who've been through similar, specifically rape and sexual abuse, and then ended up pregnant. In many situations, in most situations, they get kicked to the street because of the pregnancy, either Muslim or Christian. They get kicked to the streets because the parents are embarrassed and they don't want a part of that. And they also don't have the money to support another mouth. So some of it's logistical and some of it's religious, you know, and different things like that. And there's nowhere for these girls to go. If they get caught and get to an orphanage, then they get to stay at that orphanage. But when they have the baby goes somewhere else. And that's even if they get to the orphanage. And of course, I don't want to go too detailed, but there's many babies that don't make it. Let me just say that.
Right.
Some by abandonment on the side of the road, some by abortion, you know, a lot of different things like that. And so then, you know, these babies, of course, then don't get a chance at life. So we have Mercy's Life Family, which does work in Mombasa, Kenya, right north of Mombasa, Kenya. And we bring these girls in. It's actually a maternity home. Pregnancy crisis center is what I like to call it, but it's actually a maternity home. And they come first year, they get emotional healing. So it's all counseling and education and just lots of just Jesus's love, just constantly, and all of that. And they get trauma counseling, they get spiritual counseling, they get group counseling that deals with emotions and how to process. And so instead of us here at whatever age we might be, you know, we're teaching them these things at 12, 13, 14, 15, even up to 18 years old. So they back at 30 something or 20 something or 40 something or 50 something or 60 something to kind of unearth these things and start to deal with them. And so we go through that process of owning their story too, and a lot of different ways that we do counseling with them in fun, exciting ways. God, everything is based on teaching them who they are in Christ, and then just different ways that we do that that way. And then we move on to vocational skills. And so then we teach them a vocational skill, get them really good at that skill, and then teach them business skills. So within 3 years, they're able to then move out with their baby, stay with us for those 3 years, but then move out with their baby and be able to be self-supporting. Because a lot of them get situations because of finances. They need a pad, and a guy gives them a pad, and then 2 months later says, well, I gave you those pads, and so now you need to have sex with me. They know that they can say no, and then, you know, at 12 or 13 or 14, you know, they end up having sex with this guy that gave them two pads, literally an always pad, like
a sanitary napkin type. And so because they'd given them a ride to school. They stop along the way and they abuse them sexually that way. And just any opportunity that they can to prey on these young girls, because these are girls. These aren't women having babies. These are 13 and 14 year olds coming to you pregnant because of something that is not the fault of their own, and their innocence is stolen. Just like your voice and your innocence was stolen in such ugly ways.
Absolutely. And we're able to empower them, number one, with the word of God, number two, financially, and then also with the emotion stuff, you know, just this period as women, you know, like, no, that's not okay. And my hope is that they, and I see this happening already, because I see it happening within the house and the girls supporting each other, is that then they'll be strong enough to go out and change the community, because some white woman, you know, Wisconsin is not going to change you know, the culture of Mombasa, Kenya on the South Coast. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not how it should happen. It needs to happen from there. And so then these girls will go out and change the community. It's going to take a while. But we see it already starting to happen. And it's so awesome. Like, we've had two girls recently that had C-sections. And the house moms are there to get up and help at night, especially, you know, in that situation. The girls are fully responsible for their own babies. But when girls are sick or, you know, there's a circumstance like that, then the house moms get up and help with the girls. The house moms get up, three other girls are already up, the baby's already with the mom, you know, breastfeeding. Like, the girls are helping each other.
They're
each other how to read. They are getting up in the middle of the night when they have their own babies to get up with, remember. They're all young, but they're still getting up even when this mom, you know, the two moms with the C-sections and are helping her. And, you know, like I said, they're just bonding together like a family, which is what we want. Some of these are coming from sexual circumstances within families as well. So it's really awesome to see just God working in their lives and, you know, just sharing, you know, just seeing and their gratitude for every little thing. It's just amazing to just be a part of. And again, you know, the Kenyans do most of the work. You know, I've got, you know, administrative things that I help with, but I'm not there on the ground making decisions. I'm not there on the ground, you know, having to, you know, make the call of C-section or not C-section or, you know, all of those things. And it's just amazing what God has done.
That is fantastic. That is, oh my goodness gracious. And there's eight babies there right now, or?
Oh gosh, they keep expanding. So
there's a couple more coming along the way, but they're, yeah, I know there's 13 girls are there at the moment, correct?
Moms, yeah, or
and the house can hold up to 18 moms and babies.
16 to 18, we got to figure that out with staff, but yeah, something like that. And really, this would never have happened had I not taken the time to own my story. If I had not gone back, really dealt with those emotions, offered forgiveness where I needed to, but really even just getting that healing, that emotional healing. Like I needed that perseverance. I needed that strength of a hard life to be able to handle. Work in Kenya. Kenya does not work like the U.S. It's not as simple. It's not as easy. It's, you know, even just to get a passport photo can take 3 days. Like, tiny little passport photo. Like, it's just, oh, we're, the electricity is not in, or, oh, we're out of ink. Like, well, you're an ink shop. Like, how you, but that's life in Kenya. Like, welcome to Kenya. You know, like, how it is. And so that perseverance to get this off the ground, because it took 10 years to get this off the ground. And my life history, you know, gave me that strength to be able to go through all of these struggles. And it was like up and down, up and down, up and down multiple times. And so, you know, I can see goodness coming out of, you know, those bad situations. Like God talks about in Romans 8:28, you know, that all things he will work together for the good of love him. It's not saying that the experience was good,
right?
But use it for good. And so he's using it. Good in my life, and then hopefully infinitely more life, and then of course mercy's light too over in Kenya as well. And it's a matter of going and doing that work, and I just hope everyone does that.
Absolutely. And you know, I couldn't be more proud of the things that you've done. I've watched your journey from being an attorney to your first trip to Kenya that you took kicking and screaming, but you went anyway. And to see the things that literally have come full circle in your life, from being traumatized to now helping those that are traumatized. And, you know, it's a story of incredible fortitude on your behalf as well. And that sense of, I'm never going to give up, that overachievement thing, that's all a good part of it, that even that can be used for the good. And so so what we're going to do is talk a little bit about the vocational center that's being built over there. Tell me about that. There's a new building coming up. How's that working?
So we just finished. It only took 3 weeks to finish. And three is a big number for us lately, which is so awesome. So it took three just the wall around a new property we were able to buy. It was by God's grace. I couldn't even tell you exactly where all the money came from, but it was there, and there we were in this opportunity. So we bought this land, just like our house is here, and literally right next door we bought this property. We were able to build the wall around it. It's going to be a vocational center, so it's not just for our girls. Our girls will go there, and it's going to be big. It's going to be able to accommodate 250 girls total for a year, with a morning program and an afternoon program. So it'll be a full community that will be able to come in, all girls, and priority to girls that have been through sexual trauma and have babies. But they're just depending on circumstances, we'll see what that all looks like. Age may be different. They may be older and up above 18, whereas our house can only take up to 18. And so it's this amazing vocational center and business center. So the first year, actually, it'll be a three-year program because, again, threes are really important. This is like, walked with Jesus 3 years, and there's so many other threes, you know, triune God and so many things. We think three is important. So the first year, many of these girls in the community have never eaten like they should eat. Like if they get one day, that's like good. That's generous for them. So the first year is going to be all eating. So they'll eat one meal a day with us, really well-balanced, really great meal. And then the word of God too. So they'll have Bible study and counseling and a meal. So that'll be the first year to get them mentally ready with the food and also ready with processing out some of these things, owning their stories and be fully there and available to listen and to learn, you know, as we teach them and bring these trainers to teach them whatever it is, baking or, this is all domestic stuff. This is not about exporting things to sell. This is about things that they can sell domestically. So it might be baking, it might be tailoring. There's a lot of different areas that they'll be, but it'll all be domestic.
Sure.
And so the first year, again, counseling and food. Second year, vocational, getting very good at those vocational skills. And then the third year, again, business skills. And then getting them set up with a business if we can get the microfinance loans.
Absolutely. And I just can't help but I think about Ed. They're being fed with food, but they're also being fed with the word. So they're going to be full. We all know that you can't learn, a child or adult, you don't learn well if you're hungry and your stomach is growling and your mind is elsewhere and you're sluggish. Your brain is fed by the nutrients you put in your body, but it's also fed by the word of God. And so that is amazing and fantastic.
You were just saying, it's like our mind is fed by, physical food and those nutrients, but then also our thoughts, right? And if we allow those negative thoughts to stay in our head, then that's where we'll be. You know, I'm depressed. I'm not good enough. I'm whatever it is we're saying to ourselves in the negative. And sometimes we might not even be aware of that. And that's hence covering that. And so, I totally think that the word of God is the only thing that can overcome those negative things. Like we've got to get more of the word of God in us, and they'll cover and they'll pull out those things to show like, hey, you're thinking this, you know, and then replace it with what God says. It doesn't matter what I think about me. It doesn't matter what my, you know, what people think about me. It matters what the word of God says about me and living that truth. And that's it.
Yes, it is. So we are about to wrap this up. Tell me really quickly about Finding Freedom, the coaching course.
Absolutely. So Finding Freedom has been a 3-year process. So what I've done is really isolated what I did to overcome, you know, these circumstances in my life. So whatever the trauma is in your life, and some people might not even label what your trauma was as trauma, but that doesn't matter, because if it's affecting you as trauma, that's all that matters. And so we need in there, again, taking those scabs off, not to stay stuck there. We're going to do it together so we can move forward. And so I'm super excited to be able to bring this. We're hoping to launch at the end of November, middle to November, and just to come together and just do this work together. So by the beginning of next year and even into next year, we can have that work done and we can be better of who we are, because we like come in and heal those places. And that means wealth, and that means relationships, and that means our life, and that means, you know, business and so many things. I needed it so much as a parent. I wish I had done it so many years earlier as a parent.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Our kids turned out well, though. We have to admit, between the two of us, your two and my four, our six kids have turned out well.
Despite me.
Right. Yeah. You know, and there's another example of God's grace.
Amen.
Protecting your children, watching over your children, and things of that nature. So You just said something about doing it together, and that's what we're about here at Infinitely More. And I say we because I'm part of the leadership team here, but we are really as hands-on and connected to our people as we can be. And so those of you that are listening, please, please, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at Infinitely More Life. You can find Carrie where?
Same place. I'll get all the messages from there too, or someone will get them to me. So
yeah. So don't hesitate to join us. We have this podcast that we do for you all. We have plenty of books out. We have a brand new devotional, I'm Enough in Christ Daily Devotional, 365 days of amazing, amazing stories. And then the journal book will be coming out soon to accommodate that as well. So you'll be able to read and then journal your thoughts and feelings and get your emotions out on paper. And don't hesitate to reach out to us. All of our speakers are going to have coaching and counseling and things available, whether it's in mental health or in business, myself as a business coach and a finance coach and budgeting coach, we will be here for you. We're not just here to have you listen to us.
So, amen. Yes, we are praying for you guys all the time. We are
all the time.
Individually, when you give us your prayer request, and as a group in general, we are praying all the time, and we just want to, you know, connect and help bring you to the next level, whatever that looks like for you, you know. It's just exciting.
It is so exciting. Carrie, once again, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I don't know where to say, where can I find you? Because I know where you are all the time. We can get your books on what?
Amazon.com.
Okay.
You can get all my books. I've got quite a few. We've not referenced some of them, but you can definitely get this one there. Okay. Also, an Etsy store.
Yep.
InfinitelyMoreLife.etsy.com. Most of our books are there as well, but you can get all of them also on Amazon.
Okay. Definitely visit the Etsy store. Part of that vocational with the girls over in Kenya is they make amazing keychains and other products that you can pick up there and help support them that way as well. You can also go to Mercy's Light and look at different ways to sponsor their moms, the moms and their babies as well, because support is needed at the level of $29 a month, less than a dollar a day. What we're going to do now is say goodbye to you, Carrie Reichardt, and sign off. Thanks so much again for joining me on week number 4 of 7 for Mind Control, Change Your Thoughts, Shift Your Life, Shift Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, all of the above. Join me next week where my guest is going to be Evangelist Kina Hackworth out of Elkhart, Indiana. She's going to talk to us about healing healthy and what that looks like and what that meant for her. And as you hear her story unravel, and I'm telling you, it's an amazing story and she's a phenomenal woman. And we just look forward to seeing you there. So until next time, thank you so much for joining us here on